Let's talk about avoiding ministry burnout. Avoiding ministry burnout. And, you know, I was just thinking as I was driving over here from the other tracks, just the kind of people who might listen to this particular presentation this morning, and then I have an opportunity to give it in one of the Spanish tracks later on today, of just the kind of people who are going to be listening to this. And I understand there will be some in this room who feel like they're on the verge of burnout themselves, or maybe even some who feel like they've crossed the line. We've had people that have come to this conference essentially saying, I'm done. I am done with ministry, and unless I hear something this week that changes my mind, I'm going back and I'm going to resign, and I am just done. And I recognize some people might be there, and we'll get to some definitions in just a minute, but the term burnout is so widely used in our culture that we at least have a working understanding of what we're talking about. And for some, that might cause you to conclude, look, it's not just a matter of being on the verge. I'm there. I'm feeling burned out right here, right now. And I want to just say right off the bat, I recognize that God has called some people to some very challenging ministry places. And some of the stories that I hear at conferences like this, and as I have the opportunity to travel, it just breaks your heart. So I realize that may be the season that you're in. If that's the case, when our time together here is done, I hope you've found substantive help from the Word of God that would help comfort and strengthen and encourage and sustain you. So I recognize this is not just an academic conversation that we're having about counseling someone else, at least for some folks in the room. I've prayed for you and we've prayed for you that this would be encouraging. I also understand others are just thinking about this from the perspective of I want to be in the best possible position to help others who are saying that they're burned out. I want to be an effective counselor in a situation like that. And I would say to this, to all of us, you need to be prepared. You better be. The APA, the American Psychological Association, did a study on this topic, and you can decide how much credence you want to give to these stats, but they concluded that 75% of Americans experience symptoms of stress in a given month. That's a pretty high stat. 75% of Americans experience symptoms of stress in a given month, and of then that group, 77% of them experience some sort of physical symptoms as a result of that stress. And using their terminology, 73% of that group experience psychological symptoms of that stress in a given month. Now again, you can decide how authoritative you believe the APA should be, but my point is that many people in our churches and many people in our communities would say that they feel burned out. And you may be wondering, is God's Word really sufficient when I'm facing a counseling situation like that? And hopefully when we walk through some of this material, you'll be more committed than ever, along with the Apostle Peter, that God has given us in His Word, what? All we need for life and godliness. I would also encourage you to think about this topic. I mean, again, if there's any truth in those stats I just gave you at all, I would encourage you to think about this topic in part from an entrepreneurial perspective. And what I mean by that is looking for needs that exist in your community and delivery systems, perhaps creative, that you could design that would make God's Word more available to people in your town, how and where they're hurting. So again, if burnout, stress, is a major topic in the lives of many people in our communities, then what exactly are we going to do about it? And some of the things we've tried to do here, we call it a Faith Community Institute. We teach it on Wednesday night. And, you know, we used to have typical prayer meeting and enjoyed that. But we got to the place of wondering, was there a more effective way to use that particular evening, especially from the perspective of outreach? And that doesn't mean we don't care about praying, but we decided we were going to pray in different ways, and we were going to use Wednesday especially as an outreach opportunity. So we designed a Faith Community Institute, kind of like a community college, where you have short courses, and then you put it together in some sort of a catalog, and then just advertise it however is best. And so in those days, we put it out especially in the newspaper. I don't know if your town or not, but our newspaper circulation is really going down, and so we're finding other delivery systems via social media to get that word out. But offering classes on burnout, offering classes about stress. And again, 4-week classes, 6-week classes, 8-week classes. But I'm amazed how many people from the community will walk into a church house on a Wednesday night in order to hear teaching like that. It's not unusual for us to have 700, 800 or more people from our community that would come, not just to that class. We have an entire series of classes because we're trying to figure out what are the questions that people have in our community. And many times wouldn't have any idea that God's Word would have anything to say about that at all. Let's just design those classes. Let's put that out there. Many times, by the way, taught by lay people in our church. And so it doesn't all have to fall on the staff at all. So I'm just simply saying, if this is a major issue, what are you doing to get the sufficient Word of God into the hands and hearts of members of your community if this is where they're struggling? And then obviously that's just another reason to have a community-based counseling center. Right, we would not want anybody in our town who was struggling with stress, who was struggling with burnout, to either suffer in silence or go to a secular counselor because they didn't even know that faith-based resources were available in their town. And if people decide they want to suffer in silence, or if people decide that they want to go see a secular counselor from our community, that's between them and the Lord. But whether or not we're making those answers and resources available to people in our town so they know the option exists, that's between, you want to finish that sentence? Yeah, that's between us and the Lord. And someday we're going to have to give an account for that for sure. So if those stats are true, there's a ministry opportunity, I think. Now let's talk about some definitions. And the phrase burnout is like the word depression. It's not found in the Scripture. Let's just be sure that we've said that right out of the block. So that makes the discussion challenging from the outset. And I'm going to show in a moment that I believe the dynamic of burnout is found all over the Bible. I really believe that's true, but we need to be honest that the word itself is not found in Scripture. So we can go to some other places, at least for beginning definitions. Just a typical dictionary definition: burnout, exhaustion of physical or emotional strength, usually as a result of prolonged stress or frustration. I think that nails it pretty clearly. Or another English dictionary: a total loss of energy and interest and an inability to function effectively, experienced as a result of excessive demands upon one's resources or chronic overwork. That goes at the topic from a bit different perspective, but I think helpfully so. Or WebMD. Probably the doctors among us will cringe. Yeah, we're going to go to the internet to... Yeah, we are. And so it's a lot cheaper than you. But anyway, that didn't come out right. What's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? A psychological state of physical and emotional exhaustion, thought to be stress reaction to a reduced ability to meet the demands of one's occupation. Symptoms include fatigue, insomnia, impaired work performance, and an increased susceptibility to physical illness and substance abuse. Well, that's enough, right? That's enough to tell us what it is that we're talking about. And I said, I believe the dynamic occurs frequently in the Scripture. You may not agree with every one of these examples I'm about to give, and you understand we're okay with that, right? I assume by now somebody said that, or you've heard us say that around here enough. Our view in this conference is not that if you disagree with us on something, that makes you my enemy. For crying out loud, you can disagree with me on all sorts of things and still buy my lunch. I mean, I'm not the kind of person where I want you to be like me. Apparently, God thought one of me was just about enough, okay? So we're just here to stimulate one another to good and work, good works, and help one another think about things. So you can decide. It's kind of like eating chicken, right? I mean, enjoy the meat, spit out the bones. That's the way that works. You understand that is the way that works, right? You don't have to eat the bones. And so same thing here. So some possible biblical examples. Well, Cain... Interesting what he said. We didn't even get through Genesis 4 before he's already saying, my punishment is too great to bear. Dude, you just killed your brother. What are you whining about? But anyway, my punishment, and you understand, that's an important point about burnout, by the way. The issue isn't necessarily the facts. The issue is the way the person is perceiving or interpreting the facts. I don't think there's any question here. It's interesting the way Jethro diagnoses Moses. Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you're doing is not good. You'll surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you. Interesting. For the task is too heavy. You can't do it alone. In other words, if you don't make some adjustments in your life and in your schedule, you're going to burn out. Or another fascinating, we could work on this passage exegetically for sure, but think about Elijah.